Going to read from 2 Samuel chapter 11, and I'll begin reading from verse 2. The person I'd like us to consider this evening is Uriah the Hittite. Verse 2 of 2 Samuel 11. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him. And he lay with her, and she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. And the woman conceived. So she sent and told David and said, "I am with child." Then David sent to Joab, saying, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah had come to him, David asked how Joab was doing, and how the people were doing, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." So Uriah departed from the king's house, and a gift of food from the king followed him. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and did not go down to his house. So when they told David, saying, "Uriah did not go down to his house," David said to Uriah, "Why did you come from a journey? Why did you not come from a journey? Why did you not go down to your house?" And Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah are dwelling in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go to my house and eat and drink until I with my wife? As you live, and as your soul lives, I will not do this thing." I will pause there. We have something of an unpleasant role reversal. David was in many respects the greatest king of Israel. He was, we're told, a man after God's own heart. He wrote many of the Psalms. He was trusting the Lord as a young man when Saul was trying to kill him. And he is in many respects a blueprint of the coming Messiah. Indeed, when Jesus came, "Hosanna to the Son of David." So messianic a figure was David, that the Son of David was a messianic title applied to the Lord himself. In contrast, we have this character called Uriah, and he is a Hittite. He's a foreigner, a pagan. He's not an Israelite. Evidently, he lives in Israel. He has an Israelite wife, and he's fighting in the Israelite army. He's been accepted as an Israelite. He has converted. Furthermore, he refers to the ark, meaning the Ark of the Covenant. So clearly he has an understanding of the theology of ancient Israel. He wasn't just a hanger-on or a mercenary who enjoyed fighting. He'd bought into it. Here is a man from a pagan background, an idolatrous background. And idolatry and paganism invariably gives rise to unpleasant behaviour. But he's abandoned all that, and now he's fighting David's war. And what we have here in this passage is the messianic king, or rather the shadow of him, the blueprint of him, who exposes himself really as a spiritual failure. And this Hittite shows himself to be a man of God. There are consequences for what we have read and what we're going to read, and David does repent of it. So David is in the palace lounging around, gazing at beautiful women. But Uriah is on the battlefield fighting. Quite why David wasn't there is not altogether clear. Joab is the commander, and Uriah is one of the officers before him. So he's actually fighting for the nation which he has joined. David calls him back with a ploy in mind. He's managed to get Uriah's wife pregnant. Well, let's bring the husband back from the battlefield and then the child, everybody will assume, including Uriah, that it was his. And yet Uriah won't go along with it. Not, I think, because he suspects what David has been getting up to. Far from it. But there is a real strength of character here. Despite the fact that the king says, go home and lay with your wife, he even sends him food. How generous is that? Uriah responds in verse 11, the ark and Israel and Judah are dwelling in tents. Even the ark, which is out on the battlefield, even that isn't enjoying the luxury of a permanent abode. The men of Israel are living in tents under the stars. How would it be appropriate for me to enjoy a luxurious home life on this kind of additional leave, while my brethren on the battlefields are sleeping rough? He's clearly a man who enjoys the king's favour. But he doesn't take advantage of it for his own comfort or personal gain. He doesn't think himself better than the other soldiers of Israel. He's a man of principle and scruple. And he admires and, I think, respects and loves David. But he won't do this for David either. He was a man who cannot be corrupted. He was a man who cannot be flattered. He was a man who will not go against his own conscience. From verse 12, then David said to Uriah, wait here today also, and tomorrow I will let you depart. So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. Now when David called him, he ate and drank before him, and he made him drunk. And at evening he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his lord, but he did not go down to his house. David does not come off very well in this chapter. Encouraging him to drink too much, so that in a merrier state, he might compromise his principles. He won't do it when he's sober, perhaps he'll do it when he's had too much to drink. And yet we find that Uriah is more principled than David gives him credit for. Even after wine, he won't go and lay with his wife, while his brethren and men at arms are without their wives and are fighting on the battlefield. Even in that weakened state, he is a man of high principle. David comes across as a real disappointment. He has sinned, and now he's trying to cover it up. He's broken the law, and he's doing everything he can to get away with it. Verse 14. In the morning it happened that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retreat from him, that he may be struck down and die. So it was. While Joab besieged the city, that he assigned Uriah to a place where he knew there were valiant men. Then the men of the city came out and fought with Joab, and some of the people of the servants of David fell, and Uriah the Hittite died also. For failing to corrupt him, David arranged for him to be killed. Technically, of course, he was killed by in enemy action. But it was choreographed. It was staged. He was given that part of the siege where the strongest men would come out and kill him and others with him. David, as the king, ought to have been protecting him. In fact, David was using the opposing army to do his dirty work. And the irony, of course, is that Uriah was carrying his own death warrant. He delivered the letter to the commander, which sealed his fate. It's interesting, isn't it, that David has understood so well the integrity of that man that that he knows he won't open the letter en route and read it. You see, he could be trusted, from our point of view, not to compromise his principles by enjoying home life when the others weren't allowed it. Neither will he, in this thing, break the seal and read the king's letter, which could have spared him his life. What if Uriah had given in? What if he had slept with Bathsheba and enjoyed the drink and the feast in his family home? He would have survived. He would have lived. Furthermore, he would have thought he had a son. But it would all have been a sham. I get the impression that although Uriah did not know what had gone on, he was such a man of integrity and honesty. He was such a man of integrity and honesty that he would not have wanted that fake, artificial family life which David's ploy would have given him. He died for doing the right thing. He died for following his conscience. And that is why in this chapter, Uriah the Hittite is a man of God. Uriah the Hittite is a hero of the faith. And David comes out rather badly. David comes out as a disappointment. Now, we know from Scripture that every person, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, is a disappointment. And those about whom we don't know anything bad, well, we can imagine, because they've got a sinful nature, that if we studied them or scrutinised them more closely, there would be something there untoward. Is Uriah the Hittite a good role model for us? He ends up dying. He ends up losing that wife. He has no more children. But he died with his conscience intact. He fought that fight in good faith. He served David and his wife faithfully, even though it cost him dearly. I think Uriah is indeed a hero of the faith, a man from whom I think we can learn a great deal.